Morning is from 2 Kings 6, 1 through 6, our first scripture reading. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. Our next scripture is Acts 27, 23, and 24. Found 21. Here we go. "Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.'" And finally, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we treasure your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and so we ask you now to shed that light on the word and in our hearts, that we would hear and believe and live according to how you want us to. We pray a blessing upon Dana as he speaks to us. We pray that you would anoint him and let the words of his mouth be enlightening to us and glorifying to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it's been maybe a week since I used a fishing illustration, so I thought you might be bothered by that. So I've got a story for you. In 2008, five friends and I made a trip to Alaska on a fishing trip. It was my first time coming to Alaska just to fish. And I had been building this up. I had been bragging to my prayer partner in seminary about just how amazing the fishing is in Alaska. You can keep 6 coho salmon a day, and you can catch 2 halibut, and just imagine how full your freezer would be. Well, day 3 into the trip, at a very soggy tent at an RV park in Petersburg, I was trying to explain to the group why our freezers weren't full of fish. And I said, "I just don't really understand it, you know. I know there's a ton of fish, and we know how to catch fish. It's just something strange about it." My buddy Aaron, who was here last summer, looked at me with big wide eyes and said, "It's a miracle." So that is to say that, you know, miracles come in all shapes and sizes. And that's why I included the scriptures I did today. The sermon series we're in about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is what's found in 1 Corinthians 12. That scripture you hear repeated Sunday after Sunday. Once we get through the list, you'll hear something else. And to go along with it and to give examples to that scripture, we've got 2 Kings chapter 6 with the floating axe head, weird as can be. And we've got that tiny little reference to the shipwreck in Acts 27. We could have told the whole story, but I wanted more time to jabber at you, so we just gave a couple verses. You remember that in our series through the book of Acts, we learned everything that happened to the Apostle Paul, and he was bound on a ship to Rome as a prisoner. He told the captain of the ship, look, don't go. It's the wrong time of year. We're going to be shipwrecked. He discerned, he knew by the Holy Spirit that's what was going to happen. And they didn't, you know, they didn't take the advice of prisoner number one, went out and sailed anyway. The storm hit. They were just completely lost. They lost all hope. They threw the cargo overboard. They couldn't see the sun. And they were starving and they were dying. And that's when God sent an angel to Paul and said, don't worry. My purpose for you is going to be completed, even if it takes a miracle. You're going to stand before trial and you're going to give witness to Caesar, to the most powerful person in the world. You're going to testify. Paul was a prisoner and he was a triumphant prisoner. And he was able to do what God called him to do because of a miracle. Now, first, let's start with the axe head miracle. Last week, you remember, we had this strange situation where there's this dead stick water treatment facility. They had bitter water. Moses threw a stick into the bitter water, and suddenly everybody can drink it. You think, what is that about? And you read this in the Old Testament, the prophets. What's happening here in this passage is there's a company of prophets who are broke and running for their lives because wicked Jezebel wants to kill them. The wicked kings of Israel are killing the prophets, and they're broke and they're living on the sidelines, and they say, we need a bigger house for our ministry. Their ministry is important because God had in mind to keep a remnant of faithful people through all of the salvation history of Israel. If it wasn't for the prophets, it wouldn't have happened. So they say, well, let's go to the Jordan. There's trees there. We'll chop some down. We'll build a house. There you go. And this certain prophet who was broke like the rest of them and had to borrow an axe was chopping down a tree, and the axe head fell in the water. And he said, alas, master, it was borrowed. Has anybody ever felt that way before? I am really hoping I can get the outboard started on the Makoviax boat, because alas, it is borrowed. I remind myself, borrow things you can afford, you know. But an axe head was very expensive then. You just couldn't go to the dollar store and buy one. And so this is strange. It's strange that this incident's in the Bible. It's strange that we're floating an axe head with a piece of wood. What's that about? You know, we hear stories all the time of God our provider providing by a miracle when we're in need. The mortgage is due, the orphanage is going to close, and you look that day in the mailbox and there's a check for $10,000. I mean, we've heard stories like that. You've talked to people, I'm sure, who've had that experience. And Jesus said, go catch a fish, there'll be a coin in the mouth of the fish. Miracle provision. So why did the Lord do the whole stick water treatment thing again? Why throw a stick in the water? Why not have a bird drop a coin from heaven? Why not have the prophet go into town and meet somebody at the marketplace and start pouring oil into 5-gallon buckets and sell everything? You know, there's all kinds of provision miracles. Why float the axe head? Well, I really didn't intend to do this, to have both of the stick floating stick miracles in the water happen 2 weeks in a row. But just like last week, the same message is there in the miracle. Last week, the message was the cross, the stick, the tree will make what is bitter sweet, the bitterness of our sin forgiven, and a sweet relationship with God, a relationship with God restored. Now, I know I'm not just making this up. Unless Father Colquist, who told me this, is wrong, and I didn't have time to look up Chrysostom's actual words, but the late theologian from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, John Chrysostom from the ancient times, talked about this passage in the Old Testament and said that the waters of the Jordan represent baptism, and the stick represents the cross, just like the stick with Moses represented the cross. And that the heaviness of our sin that pulls us down into death is lifted by the cross. It's true. In baptism we die and we're raised again as we come up out of the water. And it's the cross that does it. It's the death of Christ. And so the point here is that we often will have a mindset that says, God doesn't work like that. Don't pray for your car to start. God doesn't work like that. I've heard stories of people broken down and they need that car to work because it's winter and they're on the highway and they put hands on the hood and pray and it starts and they go and they make it. We have a tendency to say, God doesn't work like that. That's too weird. Well, sometimes what's weird to us is very, very sharply focused in a gospel message to the Most High God. So the first illustration is to demonstrate something very, very simple. That when you say God doesn't work like that, you could be wrong. And that some miracles that seem out of bounds and strange are very simply, sharp, clear, focused miracles to the Lord, whose meaning we don't understand. Some miracles that seem frivolous are right on target. So, there's a difference between saying, watch, I'll float this axe head and just throwing wood in the river on your own. Now, that's not at all what's happening here. This is a strange thing that's happening at God's command to demonstrate something and to complete the purpose. There was a purpose that had to be completed, and God fulfilled it in a way that was a message, a sign for us. So, on to the shipwreck. This is to demonstrate that miracles often can be easily explained away as circumstance. Suppose that we didn't know the angel spoke to Paul and said, God has graciously given you every passenger aboard this ship. And we just saw a shipwreck where a ship ran into a sandbar and the waves broke the ship apart and every passenger was able to make it back to shore holding onto a piece of wood. We'd say, wow, that was lucky. Well, I want to tell you something, friends. We had a really lucky week at Haines Presbyterian Church this week. It was really lucky. It was lucky we had 65 kids. Oh, man. I guess you get this all the time. It's just something, just a day in the woods, just another day for you. But I want to tell you, as a person who's seen it for the first time, I want you to recognize a miracle when you see it. That's my goal. When you walk out today, I want you to have a mindset that says, God is at work among us. And that when I pray, I don't know when the miracle will come or what the miracle will be, but I don't pray in vain. I pray to a God who's working miracles. I'm so glad you can see it. Now, the word that's translated miracles is the Greek word dunamis. You ever heard that before? Dunamis. It's one of those popular Greek words that you might have heard of. All right. There's an entire Presbyterian ministry that's a teaching course called Dunamis about the power of the Holy Spirit. The word dunamis means ability, and it does refer to the special ability of God. It can talk about the forces of nature, the ability of nature. It can talk, you know, about cosmic kinds of forces, power. But in this case, in this passage, it's talking about the power of God, the ability of God. The ability of God can come in ways that you don't expect and can be easily brushed off as coincidence. God's power is at work. What this means to our prayer life is that you can't predict or outside of God's commission for you to make the command. You can't simply command anything you want to have happen or predict anything you want to have happen. But if the Lord commissions you to make the command, it doesn't matter how impossible it is, it will happen because of God's ability. And if God commissions you to make a prayer request for the impossible, and some miracles are small and some are big, please understand this. If God tells you to make a bridge, there's a difference between a footbridge and the Golden Gate. And if you're an engineer and you want to make a footbridge, it's a small task. If you're an engineer and you want to build the Golden Gate, it's a big task. And not every miracle that you'll pray for is small or big. They're different. But if the Lord commissions it, it will come to pass. And the Lord be with you if the Lord commissions you to pray for something really, really difficult and you have to fast and you have to kneel and you have to keep praying and keep praying. Because the Lord may call you to suffer and to serve in prayer in a way that fits the size of the work that He's planning to do by His power. So, even though time and chance happen to all of us and the race is not always to the swift and the battle is not always to the strong, there's time and there's chance. There are things that look like time and chance that truly are miracles. And so when these kids come into the church for VBS, I want you to know a couple things. First, they were here for 15 hours of intense Bible content and sweet fellowship. If you were to invite one new person to this congregation who's either stayed away from church for a while or never heard about Jesus, you'd have to have them come 15 times to equal one VBS. So see what you can do. See what you can do. That's one thing I want you to know. The other thing I want you to know is that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't get a discount for children. He didn't pay half price for kids. He paid full price for 14-year-olds and 11-year-olds, for preschool kids, for toddlers, for infants, for fetuses and embryos and zygotes. Jesus paid full price for every child. And when you bring a child to church for 15 hours of Sunday morning, you bring a full-price human being to church. And when you bring an elderly person who can't make it to church on their own, they need a ride because they don't drive anymore, Jesus didn't pay half price for seniors. He didn't get a senior discount. He paid full price for seniors. So see if you can get them here 15 times and come up with one vacation Bible school. I don't have a lot to say, so I'm saying it over and over again. What I have for you this morning, I can't really expound on with minute details into a few scriptures because the whole topic of God's power is as big as the Bible itself. But the Lord does move in the congregation with deeds of power. Think about the church in Corinth for a moment. Alright, so this letter was written not only to us, it says it's written to us, but it's also written to this congregation in the city of Corinth. They were people who went to pagan temples before they were born again by the Holy Spirit, and they bowed down to idols, and they believed in these gods and demigods and these created beings, and they worshiped them with some fear and some reverence, and then they tasted the Holy Spirit. And Paul is describing what's happening in their church. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, and miracles, healing. They were experiencing these things. And they had tons of problems. They had sin. They had division. They had problems that would catch your breath. And someday when we go through the whole book of 1 Corinthians, you'll get to hear all about them. But they were a church that was filled with God's power. And I want you to know today, so are you. So are you. Maybe you could name some problems that the church has been through in the past. Maybe if you were the prosecuting attorney, you could just tap some papers on the desk right now and say, Your Honor, Haines Presbyterian Church is guilty of. Maybe you could see some things that need to be better. Maybe you could look at it as just an ordinary fellowship or an ordinary gathering. But I want you to know God's power is at work here, just like it was at work in that Corinthian church. And even though we've got some issues and maybe some things of the past, maybe some things of the present that aren't as they should be or could be, praise God. The Lord is at work. And He will not cease to give the miracles that come by His power. So when you walk out today, walk out with a heart that has thanks and reverence for God, that the Lord should do miracles. And after this sermon, I'm going to call the VBS people who were working the 15 hours here. And I know a lot of people did a lot of work before and after. But I'm going to call the youth and the grown-ups who were busy with VBS up. Holly's going to give a little testimony. I'm going to pray. And when I pray, this is what I have in mind. We're going to thank God for the 15 hours of church that the kids got, but I want it to represent something. I want it to represent all of our efforts, our mission work, helping, you know, giving to the missions that we give to, the invitations that you have made for people to come back to church, the conversations that you've struck up at the grocery store, the phone calls that you've made, the prayers that you've prayed. And I have here stuck to my sermon notes a little poster that I printed off this morning. I took a lost dog poster and I put a picture of a human being on it. And it says, lost person. This is based on a dream that a friend of mine had. And she dreamed that she saw a poster like that and could tell, could sense what God's heart was like. You know what it's like when it's been 3 days? Or you can imagine if your dog ran away and it's been 3 days and you're thinking, oh, I wonder if it's been hit by a car. I wonder if we'll ever see that dog again. But the Lord, who cares much more deeply than us, has lost something much more valuable than a pet. Jesus had to explain this. Why are you hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors? Why do you eat with them? Jesus had to explain himself with the story of the prodigal son. There's a father out there who's waiting, watching. And when that child comes, he's going to run. So when this prayer happens in a moment, I just want you to remember that the Lord is working his power and that his intentions are very, very focused on reaching those who are lost. I'm very grateful for all that you've done to join me in the great commandment and the great commission to love others and to love God and to seek and save the lost. I'd like now for the VBS helpers to come forward.